This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis. And today we're going to talk about some theologically rich Christmas songs, because it's Christmas season. We've made it past Thanksgiving, and now we're allowed to listen to them, right? Is that the rule at your house?
At my house, yeah. But it's been tough this year, because Walmart's had Christmas songs going on since before Halloween was over, and it was brutal because my kids are like, oh, yay. I'm like, no, not yet.
You know what I love about Walmart and Christmas is those Christmas tree Reese's peanut butter cups. Right amount of chocolate to right amount of peanut butter, right? Mm-hmm. You get them in pumpkin form in Halloween, but there's no like Thanksgiving ones. They should come up with a turkey
because it's got to be a bigger size to get more peanut butter.
I've seen football shaped ones before, you know, it's not Thanksgiving, but fall.
We digress very quickly, though, don't we?
Welcome to Candy Talk. That's my other podcast.
2,000 years, there's been lots of Christmas songs written. You have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa's Coming to Town, all of those types of things. But there's one subject matter I think that's more important that we'll be kind of discussing, and that is the coming of the Messiah. You know, one of the favorite songs out there that I think we sing every year is O Little Town of Bethlehem. And Philip Brooks penned the words to O Little Town of Bethlehem in 1868. He was on a voyage. He rode from Jerusalem to Bethlehem by horseback, and he was going there to deliver a Christmas message. And the first few lines or first few stanzas of that are pretty familiar to everyone. But those last ones, if you hear those words, they're so theologically rich. And, you know, they bring in John 3:16, God's sacrifice. They bring in the understanding of John 10 and, you know, James 1:21, meek souls receive him. Christ enters in. And there's this incredible picture that happens in those last two stanzas of what Christmas actually means. And it says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. It's hard not to sing that.
Very poetic.
And then the next line is, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great and glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Isn't that good?
It's good stuff.
Yeah, just the picture of what God did for us through Jesus, and that he sent his son to be born in this humble manger and to live, to die, and to rise again. And a gift that we absolutely needed.
Yeah, I love how, you know, the verses of this song, it kind of, I don't know, it makes me just think a little bit about the unexpected way that Jesus came. You know, it's sort of this picture of like this little town of Bethlehem, what amazing things are going to happen here or start here, you know? And, I'm always one who I really love thinking about the way that Jesus came and the way that he came in a way that was different than the expectations. And I think that's still a struggle, at least for me, and I think for others too, to really accept Jesus as he is sent to us.
Yeah, I mean, we'd expect the savior of the world to come in like a king, like a lion. And it's this, you know, little town of Bethlehem, sleepy night, stars going in the sky. And that's when the wondrous gift was given. I think I love the peacefulness of that song, even though we're all dads. We've been around our kids being born. It's not always a peaceful moment, but that's the way God chose to enter into the world. And the beauty of that is that Jesus came fully God and fully human. And I love that new, new commercial series that's been out kind of over the summer, He Gets Us. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those. They have the billboards out in major metropolitan areas. They've been on ball games and stuff. And like, He Gets Us because he was fully human from the time of his birth through his death on the cross, but yet he's fully God. And so the beauty of that for me is that he understands what it's like to live as a human and face the trials and the tribulations that we face. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of it all, Lord and humbled himself enough to experience humanity.
Yeah, I think the other thing about Christmas is we're on the other side of it, and the people waiting for Christmas, these songs, I mean, they weren't singing these songs there, but they were so, it's a picture of their plight, you know. O come, Emmanuel, it is really just this asking God to send the Messiah, the anointed one. And I believe that song was actually written in Latin at first. And then, like, in 1851. Like, why does everything happen in 1800s?
That's probably because they didn't have Netflix. You should sing a few bars for us.
I'm not going to sing that one. But but Emmanuel means just God with us. Mm-hmm. And what you're really talking about, God in the bod, God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And that phrase, God with us, first appears in Isaiah and then is quoted in Matthew 1:22. And it's really a specific way of referencing Jesus, who is both man and God. And it's just this beautiful passage that you see throughout it, throughout the scripture, that Jesus was coming. And in that song, it says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And there's just this beautiful picture of really of all God's people just really longing for him to show up. Mm-hmm. And there, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which I think is really interesting, there's 400 years where God is silent and he doesn't speak until he speaks to Zechariah, who's a priest, and Elizabeth. And that's when John the Baptist comes on the scene. Zechariah is this old dude who's doing some type of ceremony in the temple, and an angel appears to him and says, hey, you're going to have this son. His name's going to be John. And that had to happen before Jesus could come, because the son, John the Baptist, comes in the spirit of Elijah. And it's just this picture that all the way back into Malachi and this interconnection of scripture that you see. But there's this preparing, John the Baptist prepares the way for the Messiah. He calls people into repentance. And it's this incredible thing. But the really incredible thing is, 6 months after John's born, Jesus is born, and the Emmanuel comes.
This is one of my favorite things about Christmas carols. I mean, and O Come, Emmanuel is a great example of this. These songs that unite us as followers of Jesus back hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, the melody, the original melody for that song goes back to the 15th century.
Hmm.
Just, to me, to think about the fact that there were people singing that same melody that we sing during this time of year in the church and in other places too. It's just, it's amazing to me. And it speaks to the heritage that we are a part of as followers of Jesus, which obviously goes back much further than that even, but it's just fascinating to me to have this sort of relic from that time that is still so a part of how we celebrate this season and how we remember the coming of Christ.
And that's kind of the cool thing about the carols that have been along for a long time, or the ones that, represent the gospel, the Christmas story, is like we're singing the same things that generations before us have sang and celebrated the birth of Jesus. And it's kind of a cool thing to think about, like we're partaking in that kind of tradition and that history with folks that have long gone before us. And like, how many, what did you say that one was, 1851 that it was originally penned?
I think, I don't know if it was originally penned then. I think it was in Latin. I think it was translated into English in like 1851.
So it's been around for a long time.
No Netflix, a lot of the time.
Like, it's still here. How many, I mean, Bieber's not going to be around for the next 2,000 years.
Oh, you know, just wait.
Dude, don't talk about the Biebs. I love the Biebs.
Or 200 years. I mean, but that's just true. Like, the longevity of these things, and you even take the Bible, like, it's been around, the best-selling book throughout history, and it continues to do so. Like, there's something unique and something beautiful and something amazing about the story mm-hmm. of God and how it continues to pass down the traditions, how it continues to change lives.
Yeah, another one that I just love is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I kind of wonder, back to your thought about, like, this heritage. Mm-hmm. Like, what is heaven doing on December 25th? Like, is all heaven still singing with us? Are they still there? Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And that's right out of Luke. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's right out of where the shepherds meet Jesus. Is that Luke or is that Matthew? One of the two.
Luke, I think.
Is it Luke? And so they meet the angels, and there's these angels that come, and there's this heavenly host, which means army. There's these army, and they start to sing this, and they start to mm-hmm. praise God, and they start to, like, it's like heaven spills over into earth. The celebration of God coming to earth spills over onto earth in that moment. And I just wonder, like, are all the saints that have gone before us, are they just, like, singing and just having a good time, whooping it up with some heavenly eggnog and just enjoying themselves, that God chose to come and reconcile them and God chose to come and reconcile us?
I would go to say yeah, because you look at how the birth was announced to the shepherds. Like you said, there's a big army, and, like, usually army songs, you know, like, however those go, because I can't repeat the ones that I remember on air. But, like, they were marching tunes, marching orders, and they were kind of jovial. I mean, there's a battle cry component to that. What's funny about this song is this one was written by Charles Wesley, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think he was one of the guys, of the founders of the Methodist movement. And his whole penning behind this was for it to be a somber melody. And I guess from what I researched on that, the people weren't really digging it.
Yeah.
So it got kind of changed forms in, like, 1840, and they started to adapt this new medley to make it more jovial and exciting and happy.
Yeah. I think there's some just great theology in it. Like, it just walks through mm-hmm. the Christmas story. You know, it's like, first stanza's hanging out with the shepherd. Second one is, like, Mary and Joseph. And, you know, it says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail thy incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And it's this whole idea of this virgin birth, that God had to be born of a virgin, and he could not have sin in him. And it deals with, you know, the original sin that was passed down from Adam. And it's just beautiful and so theologically rich.
The third verse too, it's talking about righteousness. It's talking about Jesus coming to be the bringer of light in a dark place. The healing work that he came to do. I mean, you know, this is, as a musician who spent a lot of time in the church singing and playing songs, you know, I like the modern songs, and it's my preference often, but I cannot deny going back and looking at songs like this, the depth and the richness. And it's sort of, I don't know, it seems sort of laughable to me to compare them to some of the things that we sing now, though I think they're correct and true and worshipful. There's just something, there's so much theology in these songs from this era. And, you know, Wesley is one of the greats when it comes to that. But yeah, it's really amazing the amount of depth and truth that's in these songs.
And I like the part that it just walks it through scripture. Like you read the birth story.
Yeah.
You know, we're familiar with that because we've spent lots of time and lots of dollars to study that. But I mean, lots of people know these Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. Like we've talked about the heritage and the tradition and the history that they get passed down from family. Sometimes if you just take a moment and pause and reflect on what the words are that you're actually saying and that people are singing around you, it can be really cool and it can mm-hmm. open up and lend itself to have some conversation. Like, yeah, we just sang this song and we're sitting here. Do you actually know what that means?
Yeah, some of the hymns were just done out of necessity because they knew that they had to continue to praise God and they didn't have what they typically had, like Silent Night, for instance. That one was written because there was, I think, a flood or water damage to the organ, and the organ didn't work.
Darn.
And so they got the guitar out, penned those words, and it's, you know, one of my favorite songs. I think it's many people's one of their favorite songs. And, you know, you sing it with candlelight, and it's just this awesome experience of singing the truth of what that night meant. One of the most significant nights in all of mankind when God took on flesh, came as a baby. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful night. Most people didn't even know what was happening, though. That's the crazy part. The shepherds knew. Mary and Joseph knew. You know, you have some magi, but they don't meet him till he's like a toddler.
Yeah, right.
They knew something's up, but they don't know it. But there's not very many people that actually know the significance in it. And so I think that those words, Silent Night, are kind of significant. It's just, it's this quiet entrance into this world.
Mm-hmm. And that one, when was that one written? That was probably 1800s-ish something, too.
It's German, isn't it? Moorbacher?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what German sounds
like? Yeah.
After they eat a pound of schnitzel.
I think it was from
back in that time frame, though. I mean, but what, like, I just envision, like, the organs broke down. They got to bust out the old guitar, and some people are screaming blasphemy and tearing their robes. Right. But that is one of my favorite Christmas songs because it's like we cap that off with our Christmas Eve service usually with the candles lit. And it is like that silent night, that wondrous gift was given. And to think back to that story where we just like we talked about the tribe of angels, the host of angels and the shepherds, and you've got Mary and Joseph and the wise men aren't there yet. But like this amazing gift to save the entire world was given. And there's not a lot of fanfare. There's not a lot of pomp and circumstance by any means. And there's not a lot of people there. And so the beauty of this, of like this wonderful gift that was given in the silent of the night, like it just, I mean, it makes me think of, you know, the quiet falling snow on Christmas Eve. And like, it's just a beautiful picture of God's way to choose love is gentle. It's kind. It's soft. It's humble.
I think it also, like when we sing that song, it reminds me of just a simpler time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to midnight mass. They're going, man, we want to praise God. And there's not all of this other stuff. And I'm not saying it was better then. I think God places us where he wants us in the time in history. But I do, there is some part of my heart that longs for that simple simplicity that it brings out. And I think it's just a beautiful song that really kind of speaks to the truth of what that reality was on that night.
Yeah. And one of the things that's interesting about that song, and I found the date, by the way, 1818.
All right.
Yeah. No Netflix. I'm telling you.
It wasn't there.
We got to get rid of Netflix and we can write hymns that people talk about a couple hundred years
from
now.
That's right. Well, I mean, this is exactly that. This is the thing that's crazy. That what I've read about this song is that the composer of the lyrics and the composer of the tune got together on Christmas Eve and wrote that song and
it's a jam session.
Sang it at their service. I mean, can you imagine? We've got Christmas Eve coming up here pretty soon. I say, if I came in and said, hey, I got this song. Let's try it on Christmas Eve together. Can we hear it first? No. Let's just go try it. You know, it is. It's a simpler thing. And to think that we're still singing that thing, you know, hundreds of years later is pretty amazing. And it, you know, that the guy who wrote the music for that, Franz Gruber, he wrote hundreds of hymns, and that's the only one that we've still got, you know. And I think it is significant that it gets connected to Christmas.
Yeah,
it's part of why it becomes so significant.
Yeah, we have our kids participating in our Christmas Day service, which will be online. But they're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, which is another just great – it's kind of fun, kind of a fun song. And yet, again, it's back in the 1800s. I think it's 1870 or 71, something like that. There was this band of young people that I think it's actually a black spiritual song. And they were former slaves, and their mission was to raise money for struggling university. And so they were traveling around singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it's become, you know, really a I think a crowd favorite as we sing that or as others sing this around the world. And it's a pretty just fascinating song of just the reality of the good news that was born in Bethlehem on that day. And it was a savior. And that's what the angels say to the shepherds, that there's this really great news for you. And it's really great news for those shepherds. And it is really great news for us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And it's something to tell people about. It's something to communicate to others and to shout that into the on the mountaintops. If you've ever met Jesus and you have a relationship with him, it changes your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that song kind of represents and presents to us. And it really is good news. And so this is good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We would love to hear from you. If you've got any questions or comments or topics that you'd like to hear us chat about, feel free to email those to me, travis@evangelup.org. You can always catch up on previous episodes of Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Houghton podcast. Just search out Evangel Houghton on your podcast device or check out our website, evangelup.org.